Very warm good afternoon to all of you. Nice to see you all here. Before the service, I was speaking to some of you, and I know that some of you are visitors from other countries, and we warmly welcome you. Today is Palm Sunday, a big day in the church calendar. On Palm Sunday, we remember how Jesus entered Jerusalem, and the people greeted him with palm branches, and so the name Palm Sunday. Palm Sunday is the start of Holy Week, and Holy Week leads up to the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus. We call it Holy Week. The Bible calls it appointed times, times that God instituted that we should remember Him by, appointed times for us to keep and to celebrate. Actually, the Bible records these appointed times long before Jesus ever died on the cross. It is written in the Old Testament, Leviticus 23. Can we see the first slide, please? These are the appointed feasts of the Lord that you shall proclaim as holy convocations. They are my appointed feasts, says the Lord. Maybe it is hard for us to understand how the death and burial of Jesus can be called a feast. The problem for us is when we hear the word feast, we think of this. Next slide, please. Isn't this what we think of? Feast, we think of feasting, we think of eating. We think of a 10-course Chinese meal, or maybe some of you are thinking now of nasi lemak. What's your favorite? For some of us, it's good old chicken rice. I think the problem is the word feast. It gives us the wrong idea. Actually, personally, I think the word feast is not a good translation into English of the original Hebrew word used in Leviticus 23. So can we see the next slide? The Hebrew word is moed, and moed means to keep an appointment, to keep an appointment. And if you are following this, there are sermon notes in your bulletin, so you don't have to memorize these words like moed. It's all in your sermon notes in the bulletin. Moed means to keep an appointment. So right from the time of Leviticus 23, God was already saying there are certain appointments that He wants to keep with us, certain appointments that we must remember for all time. Next slide, please. And so our sermon for today, the appointed times, times appointed by God, times that He wants to be with us specially, times He wants us to remember and to keep, the appointed times. Leviticus 23 talks about seven such feasts or appointed times. But today, we will focus on just the first three of these because the first three all fall during Holy Week. It all starts today with Palm Sunday. The first of these feasts is Passover. Can we see the first slide, the next slide? In the first month, on the 14th day of the month at twilight, is the Lord's Passover. Leviticus 23, verse 5. The first feast takes place in the first month. Now, when we think of first month, of course, we think of January. But no, biblically speaking, the first month is Nisan. And Nisan, in our Gregorian calendar, it falls in the March-April time frame. You know, of course, that we are running on two calendars running side by side. One is the calendar that we know so well, our normal calendar. It's actually based on the sun. It's called the Gregorian calendar. It's based on the sun. But the biblical calendar is based on the moon. It is a lunar calendar. Two calendars running side by side. So biblically, the first month is Nisan. For me, it's very easy to remember that the first month is Nisan because when I had enough money to buy my first car, my very first car was a Nisan. So to me, it's no problem. So easy to remember. My first car is a Nisan. The first month, biblically, is Nisan. So why then is this first feast called Passover? Next slide, please. To understand why it's called Passover, we need to go way back in the Old Testament to the book of Exodus. At that time, the Israelites were in Egypt, not as free people, but as slaves. They were under Egyptian bondage, cruel bondage by Pharaoh. God told Pharaoh, through Moses, through Aaron, to let the Israelites go free. But Pharaoh refused. And because Pharaoh refused and even made the hardship of the Israelites worse, because of this, God had to send plague after plague upon the Egyptian people. Still, Pharaoh hardened his heart more and more, refusing to let the Israelites go. So finally, God planned to send the 10th and the final plague. And this was the worst of all, the most serious. It was the killing of the firstborn. I don't know how many firstborn are there here. Are any of you firstborn in your family? If you were Egyptian, yes. It's a very serious judgment, the worst judgment of all, the 10th plague. But to the Hebrew people, God said, take a lamb, kill this lamb, and take the blood of the lamb and put it on the doorposts of your house. Put the blood of the lamb on the doorposts. And God said that on the night that the angel of death passes through Egypt, when the angel sees the blood of the lamb on the doorpost, he will know that this household is to be spared. This household will be safe. And so this first feast is literally called Passover, because the angel of death passed over the Hebrew homes with the blood on the doorpost. Passover, how does it relate to Jesus? Next slide, please. 1 Corinthians 5:7 calls Jesus the Lamb of God. Not only that, calls Jesus the Passover Lamb, specifically the Passover Lamb who takes away the sin of the world. You remember, for the Israelites in Egypt, it was the blood of the Lamb that saved them from death. In the same way, it is the blood of Jesus, the Passover Lamb, that saves us from death. Remember, I talked about two calendars, our present-day calendar and the biblical calendar. Present-day calendar, you know so well, January, February, March, and so on. I'm part of that calendar, by the way. I'm June, I'm the 6th month, so I belong to this calendar. Well, the biblical calendar runs slightly differently. But when the two calendars coincide, when they coincide, that is when it gets really exciting and really interesting. So what do I mean? Today, in our calendar, it's called Palm Sunday, the day when we remember how Jesus entered Jerusalem triumphantly, with everyone greeting him, going crazy over him, waving palm branches at him. It's recorded in the Bible in John 12. And you can read that, John 12, 12 to 16. That's our calendar, Palm Sunday. But biblically, what day was it? What day was it? Bible scholars have done research, and they concluded that the day that Jesus entered Jerusalem, the day recorded in John 12, 12, that day, which we call Palm Sunday, that day is Nisan 10. Nisan 10. Now, please remember, Nisan is the first month of the biblical year, and it was the 10th day. What is so special about Nisan 10? We can read it in the next slide, Exodus 12, 3. The Lord said, tell all the congregation of Israel that on the 10th day of this month, that's 10th Nisan, every man shall take a lamb according to their father's houses, a lamb for a household. We must remember that the Jewish people have kept the law, the Torah, the feasts from biblical days, Old Testament, even unto New Testament days, the days of Jesus. They were still keeping these feasts. Even to this day, 2017, the Jewish people are still celebrating these feasts. And so go back with me in time. Remember us talking about the two calendars coinciding where it gets really interesting? Next slide, please. Let's go back to in time. Let's go back to that day when Jesus entered Jerusalem. Triumphal entry. Palm Sunday, John 12. That day, Nisan 10. What happened on Nisan 10? We read already in the book of Exodus, on Nisan 10, that was the day the Jewish people, for each household, they would take a lamb and they would take it into their house. This lamb would be sacrificed. On this very day, when the people of Israel were taking a lamb, choosing a lamb, on this day, Jesus rode into Jerusalem and the people chose him. Can you see that? 10th of Nisan, the very same day the Jewish people were choosing a lamb for each household. On this day, Jesus rode into Jerusalem and the people chose him. They chose him to be their savior, to be their hero, to be their deliverer. How do we know? The words that they spoke. Next slide, please. John 12, verse 13. So they took branches of palm trees and went out to meet him, Jesus, crying out, Hosanna. Now, Hosanna is how the word appears in English, but the original Hebrew word, next slide, please. The original word is Hoshiana, and Hoshiana means save us now. So can you picture it? It's Jerusalem, it's very crowded. We are all there, and we are all waving palm branches. Here comes Jesus, and we cry out to him, Hosanna, save us now. They wanted to be saved now, because they were also a people being oppressed, not by the Egyptians, but by the Romans. We don't like to be a people oppressed, do we? We are Singaporeans. We like to be governed by our own Singaporean government. We would hate for a foreign power to come and take over Singapore and oppress us. So it was for the Jewish people. They wanted Jesus to save them from the Romans. Hosanna, save us now. What they didn't know when they were choosing him to be their savior, they didn't know that he would save them in a way they could never imagine. He would save them from their sins, which is a bigger, bigger thing than any political salvation. Spiritual salvation. You know, in the Bible, there are no coincidences. Jesus arrived on Nisan 10. On exactly the same day, the people were choosing the lamb for their sacrifice. And when they chose the lamb, God said, don't kill this lamb immediately, but take the lamb into your home for 4 days. Now, why 4 days? Well, you can read it in Exodus 12, 6. Why 4 days? It's interesting. Do you know what happens if you take a lamb, or any animal for that matter, you take the animal into your home for 4 days? Do you know what will happen? I know what will happen because I'm an animal lover. If I take an animal, like a lamb or any animal into my home, I will look at it and I will say, you are so cute. You are so adorable. I would absolutely love this animal. In some cases, it would even be love at first sight. I would grow so attached to that animal. And so I believe it was for the Jewish people that when they took this lamb into their home for 4 days, they grew attached to it. And so when Exodus 12, verse 6 says that they keep it for 4 days from 10 Nisan, 4 days later on 14 Nisan, they are to kill this lamb, kill and eat. It would bring great pain to their hearts. I don't know if you've ever seen an animal or a creature killed on your behalf. I remember last time, I was on one of the mission trips in the Philippines, in a rural area, in one of the villages. And we were there, and it was nearly lunchtime. So we were hungry. Singaporeans always hungry. So the Filipinos, they brought out this turkey, very cute turkey, walking, walking towards us, and they said, you like? We said, yeah, we like. They said, good. Then they killed it, and that became our lunch. Oh, I could hardly eat my turkey lunch because I had seen the living bird. I don't know how the Jewish people would have felt. Grown attached to this lamb, 4 days in their home. After 4 days, kill it and eat it. Of course, during the 4 days, they had to do more than just say, you are so cute. Next slide, please. During the 4 days that the lamb was in their home, they had to examine it. Examine it because Exodus 12, verse 5 says, the lamb must be without blemish, meaning it must be perfect, with no faults, with no defects. Do you know the meaning of defect? Well, I think I am a defective human being, if I may say so. My eyes are too small, my nose is too flat, my ears are too big. I am a defective human being. If I was an animal, I think I would not qualify as a perfect sacrifice. Praise the Lord. The Jewish people, they had to examine their lamb and see that it was perfect without blemish, not blind in one eye, not lame in one leg, just perfect in every way. Because God requires a sacrifice that must be perfect, no blemish. At the same time that the Jewish people were examining their lambs, and here we are in New Testament times already, the same 4 days they're examining their lambs, during that same time frame, remember Jesus entered Jerusalem, 10th of Nisan. What happened from 10th of Nisan to 14th of Nisan? Jesus was being examined. The Lamb of God was being examined. He was being examined by the Jewish religious leaders, also by the Roman authorities. Examined in the sense of interrogated, put under trial, as it were. And their verdict at the end of it, he is without sin. We cannot find any fault in him. Truly, Jesus was this perfect sacrifice. No blemish, totally blameless. Now let's look again at the dates. The dates are very important. Next slide, please. Exodus 12, verse 6. God says, you shall keep it, that's the lamb, until the 14th day of Nisan, when the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill their lamps at twilight. The date, 14 Nisan. This was the date that the Jewish people, Old Testament, New Testament, they killed the lamb that had been in their house for 4 days. And so you ask, how about Jesus? When did Jesus die? According to church tradition, he died on Good Friday. But here we're talking about Gregorian calendar. I'm asking about biblical calendar. On which day did Jesus die? Again, researchers have found out, and it is no coincidence. He died exactly 14 Nisan. Next slide, please. And you can see the parallels here. 10th of Nisan, the Jewish people choose a lamb. They examine it. On the same day, 10th of Nisan, Jesus enters Jerusalem and they choose him to be their lamb, to be their savior. On 14 Nisan, the Jewish people kill their lamb. And on 14 Nisan, Jesus dies on the cross. Hallelujah. No coincidences in the Bible. Perfect timing. God's appointed times. This is the first feast, Passover. The second one is unleavened bread. Next slide, please. Leviticus 23, verse 6. On the 15th day of the same month is the feast of unleavened bread to the Lord. For 7 days you shall eat unleavened bread. You remember Passover, Nisan 14. The very next day, Nisan 15, is the next feast. It's called unleavened bread. Let's go back to the book of Exodus. The Israelites are in Egypt. They are in bondage. God told them, eat unleavened bread. Why? Because they had to leave Egypt in a hurry. And you know, it takes a long time to make bread. You know the bread that you eat, the one that rises? It takes a long time to make that bread. And so God said, you have to leave in a hurry. You eat unleavened bread. Unleavened bread is flat. It doesn't rise at all. Leaven is it's a rising agent. It's an agent, it's like yeast, and it causes the dough to rise through fermentation. And what is fermentation? Fermentation is a chemical breakdown of substances. Why am I telling you all these things? Are we going to be bakers? I'm telling you these things, that fermentation is a chemical breakdown of substances, because the Bible talks of leaven as a symbol of decay, a symbol of sin. And so the Feast of Unleavened Bread, it symbolizes what happened after the death of Jesus. If Passover is the death of Jesus, what is the next thing after the death of Jesus? His burial, obviously, the burial. The Feast of Unleavened Bread symbolizes his burial. You know that when people die, bodies undergo decay. This is why when we have a loved one and our loved one passes on, we send the body of the deceased for embalming, because embalming will stop the process of decay, at least for a while. But Jesus, when he died, his body was not embalmed as such. Yes, there were spices, but it wasn't embalming in the sense of preserving the body. And yet, Jesus in the grave, his body did not decay at all. He was unleavened bread. His body never decayed. How do I know? Next slide. Psalm 16:11 says so. And this is messianic, Jesus speaking to God the Father. You will not abandon my soul to Sheol. Sheol is hell. Or let your Holy One see corruption. Corruption is another word for decay. So Jesus, when he was in the grave, even though his body was never embalmed, it never decayed. He never underwent corruption. He was the true unleavened bread. Do you agree that the Feast of Unleavened Bread points to the burial of Jesus? I think maybe in your heart you're saying, no, it cannot be. And you are saying no because in your mind, Jesus died and was buried on the same day. Is that correct? Jesus died and was buried on the same day. But you are correct only insofar as our solar calendar is concerned. But according to the biblical calendar, Jesus died on 14 Nisan. He was buried the next day on 15 Nisan. Let's see the slide, please. You know that biblically speaking, 14 Nisan is a Passover, 15 Nisan is unleavened bread. Because of two calendars. Do you know that in our thinking, a new day begins midnight? Would you say midnight? For some people, it begins early in the morning. But actually, a new day for us begins at 12:01. Just past midnight. Biblically, a new day begins in the evening. In the evening. And you actually read this in Genesis, when God was creating the world, it's recorded, and there was evening and there was morning, a first day. There was evening and there was morning, a second day. Did you ever wonder why such strange phrasing? Why not morning and evening? Why evening and morning? And the reason is because, biblically, a new day begins in the evening. So, next slide, please. This is how it looks. The whole day is 14 Nisan. The evening of that so-called same day actually changes to a new biblical day. It changes to 15 Nisan. So now you can understand that Jesus died on the cross on 14 Nisan. He was buried, biblically, on the next day, 15 Nisan. All right, so this is important. Because Passover, the first feast, is 14 Nisan. The second feast, unleavened bread, is 15 Nisan. Just the other day, I was going through a bad patch, medically speaking. My body was all in pain. It's like my whole body was in pain. So I was just lying down on my bed, moaning and groaning to God, my whole body is in pain, Lord. And I find that when I don't sleep enough and I don't rest enough, my whole body becomes painful. And then as I was lying on my bed, I remembered the words of Jesus. Suddenly came to me. Jesus said, "This is my body broken for you." You remember those words? Jesus said, "This is my body broken for you." Of course, Jesus said this at the Last Supper. We call it the Last Supper. The Bible calls it the Passover meal. Jesus said to the disciples, he took bread, he took unleavened bread, and he said, "This is my body, and it is broken for you." And there I was lying in bed, literally feeling like my body was broken. And Jesus said, "This is my body broken for you." And then I remembered that before Jesus died, actually, he was tortured. Physically, he was beaten, he was whipped. His body was tortured so much that his body was literally broken. It was torn apart. "This is my body broken for you. Unleavened bread broken for you." And you know the wonderful thing? Jesus physically tortured so much to the extent that his body was ripped apart, broken, and yet when he was buried in the grave, his body never decayed. It never degenerated further. In fact, when Jesus rose from the dead, he rose with a perfect body, a perfect resurrected body with nothing torn, nothing bleeding. This is the miracle of God. Amen. And so now the third feast, the most interesting of all, first fruits. This feast of first fruits represents the resurrection. Remember we said Holy Week is about the death, the burial, and the resurrection. Actually, we sang it in the song just now. Do you remember that song? "From the cross to the grave, from the grave to the sky." You remember that? It's the death and the burial and the resurrection of Jesus. So first fruits talks about the resurrection of Jesus. Next slide, please. Corinthians 15:20. Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. Why do we say the feast of first fruits is about the resurrection? Because the Bible says so. The Bible calls Jesus the first fruits of those fallen asleep. Here means those who died. Jesus is the first fruits. Do you know the meaning of first fruits? First fruits are literally the first fruits that come out of the ground, the first fruits. And this happens biblically in the season of spring, because Nisan, the first month of the year, happens during spring. What is the season before spring? It's winter, right? It's winter. And winter is when everything looks dead. It looks like everything is dead. And yet when the season changes to spring, suddenly life comes out of the ground. Suddenly everything starts to live. And so it is in the natural. In Israel, the first fruits in the month, in the season of spring, is the barley harvest, barley. So, the meaning of first fruits, it's so beautiful. First fruits means more will come. Obviously, how can I say that something is first if there's no second, no third, no fourth, right? The meaning of first means there will be more. Next slide, please. I used to cycle a lot. This was me in my younger days. I loved to cycle. Supposing I was to tell you that I took part in a cycling race and I came in first. Whoa, what would you ask me? I think you would ask me, how many contestants did you beat to come in first, right? You would ask me, yeah, yes. And then I say to you, I'm the only contestant. Whoa. Then you'll know that I'm talking rubbish, right? If I say I came in first, how can I come in first if I'm the only contestant? The very meaning of first is that there must be a second, a third, and a fourth. And so, what is the good news if we say that Jesus is the first fruits? It means there's a second, a third, and a fourth to rise from the dead. Is that so? Let's see the next slide. 1 Corinthians 15:23. Christ, the first fruits. Then at his coming, those who belong to Christ. Wow. Jesus will not be the only one resurrected from the dead. The first will lead to the second, the third, the fourth, and so on. Just as Jesus is the first fruits, so too the promise for us. Death is not the end. Death is not the end. There is life after death. Personally, you must have heard. Actually, you must have heard of people who have risen from the dead. Have you? Personally, I have met three such people who died and came back to life. I have personally met three such people. Next slide. One of them, next slide, thank you. One of them is this man, Reverend Tam Kee. He actually preached this morning at the 7 a.m. service. He is a Myanmar priest. He died. He went to heaven. He met Jesus. And he was absolutely enjoying his time in heaven. And then Jesus said to him, you must go back to earth. And so Tam Kee became alive again. And he's still alive today. I know him personally. He's a wonderful man of God. That's the first person I know. The second person I know personally, or rather I met personally, who died and came back to life, is a woman. Her name is Erna Parr. I don't have a picture of her because I met her so long ago. In the very old days when Cathedral had the Friday prayer and praise over here in the South Transept Hall, she came and she shared her testimony. She died in a car accident, her body totally wrecked apart. She died. She also went to heaven, and Jesus also raised her back from the dead. I met her. She spoke in this church. The third person whom I have met who died and came back to life is a man named Tony Loh. Again, I don't have a picture of him to show you, but I have met him personally. This man actually had a brain tumor and he went for operations, and a large part of his brain was removed, and subsequently he died. But miraculously, God brought him back to life. And when he came back to life, his doctor couldn't recognize him, because a man with a huge part of his brain missing is not supposed to do many things. He's not supposed to walk. And yet Tony Loh was walking and talking, a living miracle. And I've met him, and I hope one day you will meet him too. Amen. Jesus is the first fruits. Do you have this glorious hope in you that death is not the end, but there is life after death? Jesus, the first fruits. There'll be a second, a third, and a fourth. What further proof do we need? Actually, God already provided immediate proof, that Jesus is the first fruits. Do you remember what happened after Jesus resurrected from the grave? Next slide, please. The tombs also were opened, and many bodies of the saints who had fallen asleep were raised. And coming out of the tombs after his resurrection, they went into the holy city and appeared to many. Matthew 27, 52 to 53. Is this amazing? It says that when Jesus rose from the dead, not only him, but the tombs in Jerusalem were opened miraculously. The dead came back to life miraculously. The dead began to walk around Jerusalem. It's recorded in the Bible. I wonder what will happen in Singapore if you, having buried your loved ones, suddenly they come out of their graves. And they start to walk around Raffles City. And they walk around Marina Bay Sands. I wonder how you would react. I might faint. God provided immediate proof that Jesus is the first fruits, the first to rise from the dead. Many more will follow. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. God's appointed times. So these three feasts, Passover, unleavened bread, first fruits, these three feasts talk about God's corporate timing. I call it corporate timing because it's for the church. It's for the body of Christ. But how about personally? Personally, are there appointed times that God has for us? Appointed times, I have found that God's appointed times for me, they are different from what I think should be the right timing. My sense of timing, God's sense of timing, is not the same. Just this last week, I heard the good news that Reverend Tam Kee was not just in Singapore, but that he wanted to come to Cathedral to pray for me. Now, I told you before about Reverend Tam Kee, the Myanmese priest who died and rose from the dead. So I'm very happy, you know, when people want to pray for me. I hope you do too, and I'm very happy if you do. I was so honored that Reverend Tam Kee wanted to come to Cathedral to pray for me. And as I heard the news that he wanted to come, I had a strong sense. Holy Spirit is going to touch me in a very powerful way. And I know from experience that when the Holy Spirit touches me in a powerful way, I cry. And I cry, and I cannot stop crying. This is me. It's not just me. Many people experience the Holy Spirit like that. The problem with crying is it's embarrassing, right? It's embarrassing when you cry in public. So, Reverend Tam Kee is coming to church to pray for me. What shall I do? I will meet him in the cafe, but I cannot cry in the cafe. It's a public place. So I booked a private room in the basement, in B2 of Cathedral, a private room, and I had it all planned out. He will pray for me there. I will cry there. Later, we'll go to the cafe and be happy, and we'll all drink coffee. So I had everything planned. Those were my appointed times. Then the day came. Reverend Tam Kee came, and next slide, please. He came actually with his son. His son is Kitam, and another lady. Her name is Lim Min. She's the author of his book. It's a wonderful book about heaven, how he died and went to heaven. So we went to this private room in B2, and they prayed for me. And yes, I felt the Holy Spirit. It's very noisy, you know, when Reverend Tam Kee and his son pray, it's very noisy. So they were shouting down the basement, and I was just receiving all the prayer. And I knew that God was ministering to me because God gave me a vision of what he will be doing in my life in future. But I didn't cry. Never mind, it's okay. I don't need to cry. I was happy that they had prayed for me. So after that, I said, let's go up to the Cathedral Cafe and we'll drink some nice coffee. So they were happy. They all like coffee. So we went to the cafe, and you know what happened. Oh, so suddenly this lady, Lim Min, she started talking to me. And she's spoken to me many times before. But this time, I don't know why, she started telling me about a different thing. And she started talking and talking. And as she was talking, Reverend Tam Kee and his son, Kitam, the opposites, Tam Kee and Kitam, they were just staring at me. And as Lim Min spoke to me, the Holy Spirit suddenly touched me. And I began to cry. And then I cried more and more and more, and I could not stop crying. And I said, Lim Min, can you stop talking? Please stop talking, you know. You're making me cry. And this is very embarrassing because we are in the cafe. It is a public place. And anyone walking by outside the road can see me crying. Can you stop talking? But she refused to stop talking. She just gave me more tissues. So it was so embarrassing. And I was so embarrassed. And yet, so blessed. So blessed, huh? God's appointed time for me, different from my own appointed times for myself. I wonder if you are struggling with this, appointed times, because God's timing is different from your timing. And you want things to happen at a certain time. Probably you want it now. And God is saying, His timing is different from yours. But believe me, God's timing is perfect. It is perfect. Praise the Lord. Shall we come to the Lord in prayer? Let's close our eyes and ask the musician to minister to us. Let's just close our eyes and be in God's presence.